Welcome back to Made in March. Today is Sunday, February 28th, and Selection Sunday is approaching. Wesley, how many days we got until Selection
14
Sunday?
14 days.
14 days. 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Getting very, very close.
Excited.
And yeah, you know, we've got a lot of plans for March Madness.
Yes.
We're going to have like a listener pool where everyone submits their bracket, see if you can basically beat the best, see if you can do better than us. You know, we've got a lot of stuff planned. We're teasing some of it.
Yep.
Not letting you in at all, but... Got a lot planned. And we actually have a fun special segment today. Alex, would you like to key in the audience on that?
Yeah, so the special segment we're going to bring to you guys today is buy or sell. We've done this a couple times in the past, and so basically we're going to list some teams, and we're either going to buy, hold, or sell. Buy basically meaning you like the direction that this team's going. Sell, obviously the opposite. And hold means, you know, you're not really sure what this team's looking like. You have mixed views on the team.
Yeah, and just to reiterate, it's always relative when it comes to these things.
Exactly.
If you sell a team that's ranked top 10 in the nation, you're not saying they're a bunch of bums, but you're saying maybe relative to their ranking.
So, or like how they've been playing as of recent.
Exactly, yeah. So to start it off, we've got an interesting team because this team has been talked about a lot, not necessarily on this podcast, but like you turn on ESPN, they talk about this team a lot. Alabama, what are they in the nation? I believe six.
Six right now. Before that's
today, we are recording this on a Sunday night, so
the rankings are going to probably blow out of the water tomorrow.
Yeah, but at the moment, they're six in the nation. Buy, sell, hold. Alex.
I'm going to hold on Bama, and I was bought in on Bama early. I haven't really been too impressed with what I've been seeing recently. They've played a lot of close games with some mediocre SEC teams,
yeah,
I'd say.
I'd say bad SEC teams like Vanderbilt. Like,
yep, and recently they did just lose to Arkansas, which isn't a bad loss.
No, Arkansas
not at all.
But I don't know. They've been turning the ball over a little bit too much as of late, and their defense hasn't been what it was early to midseason, I would say.
And they're shooting. I think they're now playing more, I guess, I don't want to say selfish, but not as like as a team, I would say, because a lot of guys are looking for shots to hoist up the three.
To be fair to Bama, to back them up, that is kind
That's
of
their
brand of basketball.
But still, but I don't want to see guys like Alex Reese taking six threes a game. If I'm a Bama fan.
What are you, buy, sell, hold?
I'm gonna be a hold on Bama right now.
Okay.
Just because I really loved how their offense they were dropping 90 plus a game.
Yeah.
And now it's been too tight with bad teams like Mississippi State and Vanderbilt recently.
Yeah. I'm with you guys, but I'm gonna be a sell. I'm a light sell.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to like say that. Not, I don't want to go all in on it because, let's be real, Bama's got lots of firepower. They're a team that, let's say, tourney time, they get hot.
They're
they could
team.
Go Final
they're,
Four.
They're a very
They could go all
team.
The way. And, you know, Patty and Shackelford, great players.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if they're top 10 good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They run the court and all that, and I get all their offensive firepower. But they've suffered some, not only, like, bad losses, but they've kept it, like, scary close with some teams that I don't believe are that good in the SEC, like you guys were saying.
Yeah.
So I'm a sell, but it's more of a light sell. Like, I still think Bama's good. Like, let's not get
it. They're still the best. I think Arkansas and them, I think it's a real toss-up now, especially after that most recent game.
I would still put them over Arkansas.
I think it's closer than you guys think, though.
Think so? Okay.
I think so.
All right. I like that. Next team we got on the docket, and I think there might be actually some more conflicting views for this one. Florida State, FSU, what are they? Are they 11th in the nation?
Pre-loss.
It'll be subject to change,
yeah,
of course.
Probably drop some.
Buy, sell, hold. Wesley.
I'm a buy still. I've kind of been harping on Florida State for a while. I think Leonard Hamilton, I think it's more of a bad game that they had against UNC. They just lost UNC yesterday. But UNC is not a terrible team. They're a tournament team, in my opinion, and they've been on the ups as of recently. But I think Florida State's too deep, too long to give up on them now. I really think they're athletic. They're coached extremely well. Leonard Hamilton's one of the best coaches in the country. Underrated as all get out. And I think this team can swarm, and I think they just have to be more efficient offense for them to have to have an Elite Eight run. I think they could go Elite Eight, Final Four, just like that.
I mean, I don't know if I'm going to go that far. I'm a buy with you, though.
Yes.
You said it. Leonard Hamilton is probably one of the most perennially underrated coaches
in college basketball.
He always has been. And Florida State, this is a classic Florida State team. They're so athletic.
Yep.
They're aggressive out there.
Too.
Lots of NBA talent. And, I mean, Scotty Barnes, I absolutely love the way he plays.
Yeah.
Very talented freshman. I'm definitely a buy. I'm with you there. I'm not as bought in as you seem to be.
Yeah.
Because every year you're in on Florida State.
They just beat Virginia a couple weeks ago by, like, 25.
No, that was impressive.
That was an impressive win. They lost to UNC by 8 points. on the road, let's be fair, UNC had fans too, and the announcers were harping on the fact that the fans were making a huge difference.
Oh,
like,
sure.
There's a different kind of energy when there's fans there. Yeah, I'm still a buy. I'm still pretty heavily bought in on this team. I think they're also, they're kind of getting into that range where they're kind of a little bit of an underrated team. Kind of people are not, like, looking at
them.
Yeah,
they don't get too much buzz, I wouldn't say.
They're probably on the four line, I'd say, after that UNC loss. Probably four, I'd say, but watch out for them for sure.
I have a feeling that you're going to have a conflicting take here.
I'm a little bit opposite of you boys. I'm going to slightly sell FSU. My reason is they've suffered a few tough losses to teams like UCF, Clemson, North Carolina. And Scotty Barnes is a great player, and actually I think he needs to do more for FSU. I think he looks to pass a lot, and there are times when I think Scotty Barnes needs to be aggressive because he's the best player they have, him or MJ Walker, I would say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure – MJ Walker is a good shooter. I'm not sure if they have the shooters around MJ Walker. I'm not sure if they have enough shooters.
Yeah.
Obviously, Scotty Barnes is a great slasher. They're a really good defensive team. Yes. I'm a little bit worried with their offense, I guess. My one slight concern with FSU. But I still like FSU.
Yeah,
fair take. Switching teams, next up we got, out of the Big 12, Oklahoma.
Seventh in the country as of right now.
And they also just suffered a loss to Okie State.
Okie State, OT loss, Okie State.
So yeah, this is all subject to change. This would have probably been better to do on a Monday. But
because all these teams...
Buy, sell, hold. I can start this one off. I've kind of really been backing up Oklahoma lately. I've really been hyping them up.
Mm-hmm.
But that was when they were like 20th, like in the teens, sort of.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm more of a hold. Austin Reeves, everyone knows if you listen to this podcast, one of my favorite players in all of college basketball. I really love him and Brady Manek. I think that's a good pairing to have out there because Brady Manek can bust it down low. And Austin Reeves, you give him an ounce of space, he gets his shot off. Mm-hmm. However, I do feel like there's almost like sometimes too reliant on Austin Reeves' jumper. I feel like if he has an off-night shooting, Oklahoma is subject to bad upsets. And that's the only reason I'm holding them instead of buy, because they're really dependent on Austin Reeves, who has been playing very well lately. Mm-hmm. But let's say he goes into maybe like a little bit of a slump. I don't know. So I'm a hold for Oklahoma.
I guess I'll go next here. I'm a sell in Oklahoma right now. Their last two games, Oklahoma State kind of exposed them, I'd say, in a way, and Kansas State more so than anything. That was an atrocious loss to Kansas State.
It's a bad loss. I don't want to like sugarcoat this. It's a bad loss. However, let's not overlook the fact that Kansas State has ascended from D2 basketball team
to a D1 team.
They're a D1 team.
They've
been playing a lot better. Who do they give trouble? Was that Baylor?
Baylor, they gave trouble to. I think they're up. I don't know how much they're up by something.
They're up a little bit.
But they've been playing a lot better lately.
Yes.
Mike McGurl, he's been there for like 10 years.
Yeah. Fair. But the reason that I saw all these, it's kind of they're trending down right now, Oklahoma. They need a kind of a pick-me-up win. But the reason I'm selling is because they don't really have a deep bench, in my opinion. I don't know. They don't get enough production. They rely too much. That's why, like Charlie's point, they rely too much on Austin Reeves.
Yes.
Brady Manek before, I think it was like last year, he was like the main centerpiece. He was taking a bunch of shots. If Austin Reeves has an off night, it's tough sledding for Oklahoma, and they can pretty much lose to everybody. I think they need a more consistent offense around Austin Reeves, and they need other players to step up and not have Austin Reeves take 20 shots every game. I think that's the kind of the key they need to that team. So I'm selling right now, although obviously it's relative because they're seventh in the country. They're not bums.
I'm a hard disagree with you again here on Wesley. I'm buying into Oklahoma. I know they've just suffered two losses, but they are a senior-led team, obviously Reeves, Manek, and then I think they have one of the most underrated backcourts. Like, Davion Harmon is a great piece.
Mm-hmm.
And
I didn't mention him, but Umoja, I mentioned
Gibson's
him. He's good.
Another really good piece. And then they got guys like Elijah Harkless and Kurkoff coming off the bench. So I think they got a decent bench. They're well-coached. I think the senior-led team come March, they're going to figure it out and start playing better basketball. Yeah. I really like Oklahoma.
Or it could have the Badger effect with the senior-led team.
You never know. Sticking in the Big 12 here, Alex, will go right back to you. Kansas, buy, sell, hold.
Kansas is an interesting team because, obviously, me and you were pretty big on Kansas in the beginning of the year.
Very.
And then they hit that rough patch, and now they've bounced back. They've won six out of their last seven, just beat Baylor.
Yep.
I'm probably going to hold on Kansas. I think they're a really good defensive team, and I think the reason they've been playing a lot better lately is they've started feeding the ball to McCormick down low. I think they continue to do that going forward. He's a problem for any team's big man down low.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, I'm just going to hold Kansas. I'm not really sure what I think of this team quite yet.
And the reason Alex said, I'm going to buy Kansas right now, and it's because how they're running their offense. They've switched things up halfway through the season. They got David McCormack way more involved, and he's an incredibly talented player, and I think that's where their offense should have been based around the entire season. I think they really messed up not doing that. He's a McDonald's All-American coming out of high school. Like, he's a high-profile player, you can say. And I think now taking the pressure off Christian Brown, Agbaji, and Marcus Garrett to produce more on offense has kind of freed up and let them, I guess, do more what they're accustomed to, like driving and not as forcing as many threes, I guess. So I really like where this Kansas team is going, and they've had some really good wins in the past couple of weeks to kind of prove that. So that's why I'm a buy on this new Kansas team, new and improved.
I'm buy as well. You guys took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, they're kind of – when they let Christian Brown play the role that I feel like fits his game better, of more or less being like a sniper out there, and feeding McCormack, good things happen.
Yes.
Just the one thing I want to add that I don't know if you guys really touched on – they've been playing a lot better defense lately, too.
Yes.
That really shouldn't be overlooked. And when Kansas plays good defense and they feed McCormack, I think they're dangerous. I'm a buy.
I can definitely agree with that there.
Now getting into the Big Ten. I think this is the first Big Ten team on the buy-sell hold. Ohio State, another interesting one. Because what have they lost their past three games?
Last three games.
And that was after like not losing for like a month and a half, 2 months.
They were hot for a while. They're currently number four in the country. Obviously, that is
But I'm not looking at them as like the number four team in the country. No. I'm probably looking at them as like at 8 or 7 or wherever you think they'll drop.
Probably 12.
Probably 10 or 11. 12. I would put them at 10 or 11.
Let's look at them as a 10. Buy, sell, hold. What do you say, Wes?
I'm going to hold right now because this team is incredibly talented. They have one of the most like underrated backcourts, I would argue, with C.J. Walker and Dwayne Washington. Dwayne Washington is incredibly underrated.
He is.
And obviously E.J. Liddell, another really underrated player. They just have just like an overlooked team, I would say.
Yeah.
For being number four in the country.
They don't really have flashy names out
there. No flashy names. But I'm going to hold on them because of their last three games. If they lose, they play Illinois in their upcoming game. If they lose their last four, that's a tough four-game skid heading into the Big Ten tournament, and anything can happen, honestly. So I'm a hold on Ohio State. I really love how they've played before this, obviously, skid. They had an incredible stretch there where they were pretty much invincible, you could say.
Yeah, they were.
But they also put up a huge fight with Michigan. They only lost by, 3, 4, 5 points to Michigan? So they're not – I don't think it's a sell yet. Even though it's been a tough three-game stretch here, they haven't lost to a bad, bad team. Michigan State's not a terrible team anymore. And then, obviously, Michigan and Iowa are top 10 teams in the country. So I'm a firm hold on Ohio State.
I'm probably going to buy Ohio State. Obviously, they've lost three games. And I kind of said this with Oklahoma as well, coming after two losses. Still going to buy them. A lot of seniors. I think Liddell and Dwayne Washington may be the best pick-and-roll combination in all of college basketball. I'd say them two are Io and Kofi. And so they got a lot of seniors on the team. They're hard-nosed players. They will work you down low with Kyle Young, Justice Ewing, Liddell, obviously. I like this Ohio State team going forward a lot.
I'm a buy as well. I mean, I think the three straight losses is almost an excuse to buy. You know, stock drops 10 points.
They'll get a little
that's
lower.
Fair.
It's a perfect time to slide in, you know?
I was saying hold to see how games.
And that's
fair. I'm just holding to see if it snowballs.
Plus,
otherwise,
it was an incredibly tough stretch. I mean, Iowa, Michigan, and then on the road against Michigan State.
Yeah.
And what their game with Michigan showed me, really, because I still believe Michigan is incredible, as I think
they're on that easy.
Anybody with eyes
can see.
Yeah,
but
top three team.
You know, they just kept it within, 3 points?
Five
points.
And they were right
it was a tight game the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're still, they got that blue-collar work ethic, and, you know, I feel like their resume kind of speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
So, the only reason I'm holding, it's a very light hold, is to make sure this doesn't snowball. As in, snowballs into the Big Ten tournament. Yeah. They could pick, I don't want it to, like, any confidence affecting. But, like, honestly, even that game against Iowa today, they seem confident in everything, even after a loss. So,
and see then how it goes. Last buy-sell hold, we are sticking in the Big Ten. Michigan State. I can start this one off. I really don't know what to do with Michigan State, so I'm just going to hold. You know, Michigan State's got Tito, Aaron Henry, and he's been putting the team on his back as of late. I don't think he played as well today.
No, he did not.
I mean, their whole team didn't play. They lost by 18 to Maryland.
Yes.
But, and so, like, that's a great sign, you know, when he can help them pick up wins against Ohio State and Illinois. But then you've got Rocket Watts, who will go 1 of 10 from the field and just looks like a shell of his former self.
I would even say a shell of last year, not even a shell of this year. This year has just been terrible.
I mean, and so part of me wants to buy because they've been playing a lot better recently, obviously, and like that's the reason that they're probably going to make it into the tournament.
Correct. Those two wins against Illinois.
But then I see things like Rockwatch, like, makes me want to sell. So, you know, at the end of the day, I really don't know what to do. It's an Izzo coach team. I'm just going to hold. Mm-hmm. Probably lean closer to buy, though.
I'm also going to be in the hold position because it's just, you have no idea what to think, because earlier in the year, you were like, this Michigan State team is terrible. They're not making the tournament. What's going on? They have no offense. They're getting blown out by bad teams. Aaron Henner's been pretty much the only source of offense during this little reignition of the team, you could say. Joey Hauser's a bench player now. Imagine that. He's coming off the bench for a Michigan State team that's like, what, 12-9, 13-9?
Yeah.
Like, not that good. I'm a hold because obviously Izzo coach team. Michigan State's got a lot of good things in the tourney in the past, so I'm a hold and see what happens.
I'm a hard sell on Michigan State. I think Aaron Henry is single-handedly going to get them in the tournament, but it's not going to be enough. Especially, they're going to be a lower seed. They're going to be matched up against a better team, and they're going to be able to stop Aaron Henry. And obviously, there's not enough around him. Joey Hauser's taken a step back and has become kind of just like a role player instead of like a really good scorer, as we saw in the beginning of the season. And Rocket Watts is just having an awful year. Like, there's no other way to put it.
He's a bum.
And so that's, I'm going to hard sell Michigan State. I don't think Aaron Henry can really carry them in March.
Yeah. So there's buy, sell, hold. Kind of, we tried to pick teams that were more confusing.
And we also had a lot of conflicting views on these teams.
Yeah. We tried to pick teams that had maybe like lost a few but were really good, or, you know, stuff like that.
That we all had some different opinions.
Hopefully that helps you guys heading into March. And now getting into the games to recap. I believe we left off on last Wednesday.
Correct. Wednesday, February 24th. So we'll start on that day and get right into it with some ACC action. NC State on the road against fraudulent UVA picks up a win 68-61. I think this is just proving UVA's fraudulent vibes.
To actually do like a holistic review of UVA's resume. Because like a few weeks ago, UVA was what? Seventh in the nation?
Mm-hmm. UVA, so they were 15th at this game.
Get this. UVA has one ranked win this entire year, and it was against Clemson, who now stinks.
Does that count?
And is no longer ranked. I'm willing to say that's a Mickey Mouse ranked win, and it doesn't count.
I agree. I can get behind this.
UVA, it's like the reason they were like that is pull inertia, and they'll beat teams by like 4, 5, 6 points. It's time to really start questioning whether UVA themselves deserves to be ranked.
UVA's got Sam Hauser and. That's about it. Kihei Clark's not a consistently good player.
Nope.
Jay Huff's not going to big difference.
He's
maker,
never
I
meant
think.
To be a scorer or anything.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to see UVA struggling because this is, I knew, it's like something you just
nothing
know
makes
along.
Wesley's day better than UVA just struggling.
Strong dislike, but yeah, they need to be unranked, that said, because their resume does not.
It's sneaky, sneaky bad.
It's just straight up bad, I'm pretty sure. It's fair to say. But later on in the day, Marquette picks up a big win against a formerly surging North Carolina team. You could argue is still surging. So that was a really good win for Marquette. Does this hurt UNC's tourney hopes at all?
Absolutely, because this game was scheduled because both teams had like an 8 to 10 day break. And UNC's like, Marquette, you want to come down and play. And Marquette, obviously, they have nothing to lose. They're not going to get into the tourney unless they win the Big East tourney. But UNC's got something to lose, and I mean, this is a big loss. It really hurts the resume for a bubble team.
Mm-hmm.
But as a big Marquette fan, this game gives me a little bit of hope seeing Dawson Garcia go up against two really good big men in Baycott and Brooks and score 24 and 11 boards.
UNC's a sneaky good front court team. Very underrated, I'd argue. And yeah, Dawson Garcia made them their babies, kind of.
Yeah, you know, in a down year for Marquette, that had to be like kind of like a silver lining, like a consolation
prize. You
gotta
look at the positives.
Yeah,
the
we'll
pick up.
Glass half full. That was a fun game to watch, and Marquette got a nice win. So
Marquette was
happy for you.
I enjoyed it.
They were splashing. Moving into more Big Ten games, we have Rutgers at home defeating Indiana 74-63. I think we kind of pointed out and said, whoever wins this game is going to be propelled a lot further than the other team to get into the tournament. I'd say both at the time probably bubble teams. You could say one.
Rutgers was a little more solid.
Rutgers
was
a little more solid, but with a loss, they would have easily.
Yeah, so it was senior night at the Rack.
They were not going to let it happen.
Very special, but you know the game did not start off great. I think Illinois was up 23-5.
Indiana.
Pardon.
They were up big.
They were up big to start, and I was like, "Oh my God, Rutgers! It's really senior night at the rack. Like Geo Baker's senior year. How are you going to do this?" Well,
how about Geo?
Rutgers stepped it up. Geo Baker, guys. No more slander. I mean, 20 points, okay. 10 boards, and 5 assists. What more do you want out of him? What more do you want
out of him? One game.
He's been playing a little bit better lately. And it's senior night. When it's an important game, Geo Baker steps up. That's what he always does and always has done.
But the more important takeaway for me from this game is that Ron Harper had his first good offensive game in, I would say, probably 2 months.
I was going to mention that as well, yeah.
2 months he's
done. And also, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I did predict the Ron Harper Jr. resurgence in this
game.
That
actually did happen, yes. Ron Harper has been atrocious from three, and he was 4-7 this game from three with 20 points, 8 rebounds.
He just looked more confident out there.
Yes, he
did. Ron Harper Jr. is a player that I think feeds off his own confidence.
And he was down bad.
He was down bad. We all know people that have been down bad, and that was Ron Harper Jr. looked pretty down bad.
He was down bad. It was bad. But it was good to see him come back because I think him playing solid offense is huge for this Rutgers team. Geo Baker also had 10 assists to this game.
That's what I said, yeah, and Alex just decided to turn his ears off, but that's okay. I still like this Rutgers team. Senior-led, they've got the clutchness factor in them, and Miles Johnson, he's going to be big in March.
Break. I cannot wait to pick against this Rutgers team.
Oh, really? I can't wait to pick them for a nice Elite Eight run, baby.
Wow. You know what? I'm debating about logging off right now because that was some nonsense. Are you kidding me? An Elite? No way. Not skip. All right. Arkansas.
Skip.
Arkansas defeats Alabama at home 81-66. Arkansas straight up dominated this game. It was just domination. They were.
Vegas fooled us yet again.
Yeah.
They tend to do that.
Frequently. Moses Moody got to the stripe.
Oh, yeah. You're a fan of Moses Moody.
Moody was the key for Arkansas. You look at his field goals, 3 of 12, but then you realize he attempted 19 free throws and made 16 to finish with 24. He attacks the rim. He's got one of the best Euro steps in college basketball. Mm-hmm. Very underrated freshman. He's going to be a high pick next year as well.
50 fouls were called in this game. It was
borderline
unbearable to watch. Mm-hmm. We were tweeting left and right about this, how these two teams are so fun to watch, and this should have been a phenomenal game. The refs ruined it. Called 32 fouls on Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, that's malarkey.
When Arkansas goes to the stripe 43 times and Alabama goes there 8 times, it's like, come on, refs.
It can't just be a game flow. Also, towards the last 3 to 4 minutes, Alabama was frustrated and fouling a lot, but still, 43-8 is nothing.
I want to pose this question to you guys. I really like the way Arkansas has been playing lately, especially Moses Moody.
Yep.
Here's my one fear with them. Tell me if you agree or disagree. Do we think they're peaking few weeks too early? Like, if this was Arkansas in, like, the SEC Conference Tournament, I think I would be just fully bought in. But I'm almost, like, afraid that they're not going to be able to keep up this pace they're on right now.
I'm not afraid yet. I need to see, like, evidence of that fall off for me to start believing that. Because right now, I mean, they could go, like, an Ohio State run where Ohio State was literally invincible for a month, more or less. So it's kind of, I need to see some facts behind it before I would say that.
That's fair.
It's too early. But it's a possibility. It's a very fair possibility.
If we talked about Arkansas on our little buy and sell segment, I'd definitely be buying in. I like this Arkansas
team.
I
think I would too. Yeah.
They're on a roll. They have two easy matchups to finish. Well, I hope they'd be easy. South Carolina, Texas A&M. And then SEC Conference Tournament play. See if they can carry that momentum all the way into March.
Yeah.
Fair. And just got to mention two teams at the end of the night here. Creighton picks up a win against DePaul.
Nice.
Hopefully. Thank God. Holy cow. And Tennessee against Vanderbilt as well. Two kind of iffy teams that we've kind of been sliding away from, picking up some easy wins, thank goodness.
Yeah.
But that wraps up the games from Wednesday. Now moving into Thursday, one of the best games of the year, but it was dominated by Michigan. On paper, obviously, it looked like it was going to be a phenomenal game. Michigan dominates Iowa 79-57. And the key to this was Hunter Dickinson locked up Luka Garza.
Yeah.
He dominated Luka Garza. Luka Garza, 6 for 19 with 16 points. Obviously, that's still a phenomenal game, but when you're watching the game, Hunter Dickinson.
Especially in the first half.
In the first half, played. Oh. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah, and what sucks for Iowa this game is they lose Jack Nungy for the rest of the season, torn meniscus, I believe.
Yep.
And that's a huge loss for Iowa.
Yep.
Obviously, see,
I don't know. I disagree.
Here's
I'm going to explain why I disagree. I think Jack Nungy is a great bench piece. I think it's a loss. I think it's a definite loss for Iowa.
But it's not massive.
However, I don't think it's that.
The only time that
it becomes a massive loss is when Luka Garza's in foul trouble. Because if Luka Garza is in foul trouble, they don't have another big guy that they can just throw in there.
They literally do not have.
But Luka Garza is the kind of player that can play 40 minutes a game. He has that motor. And I think as long as he stays out of foul trouble, maybe get Keegan some more minutes, I don't think that this is like the worst loss of all time. I'm not saying it's like good that he tore his ACL or his meniscus or whatever it was. Praying for him. But I don't think that that's like a season-ending thing for Iowa, if I'm being honest.
Yes. And clearly that was shown in the next game that they played against Ohio State. But it is fair that if Garza, like in this game, I believe he, or in the next game, or was some game he was in foul trouble, and Nungy played like 25 minutes.
Yeah, I think now that was almost the prior game,
that's what it was. Now, if that happens again, they don't have anybody, but it's good because, in a good way, it's because Keegan Murray's going to get more minutes. And I think that's good for Iowa.
And maybe not even more minutes, but like he'd go into a bigger role.
Bigger role, but Nungy's going to be missed bad on as a rotational player for Garza and also on his defensive abilities because he's a very good rim protector, I would say. So, unfortunate loss for Iowa, brain for Jack Nungy. Hopefully comes back better than ever next season. Houston picks up a big win against Western Kentucky, 24-point win, 81-57. Now, Western Kentucky is not a team of scrubs.
No, they're not. We've pointed them out as a sneaky mid-major team.
They're probably going to win the Conference USA.
Yeah, it's actually surprising why Houston was playing them. I was kind of like,
In the middle of the year?
Middle of the year.
Might have been like a Marquette-UNC situation, like these teams just
Or maybe they were scheduled to play earlier in the year and they got canceled for COVID.
You never know. But yeah, I thought Western Kentucky was going to actually keep it kind of close, but Houston really dominated that game.
Quentin Grimes shot 8-16 from 3. Quentin Grimes, if you've been watching Houston the past week or two, Quentin Grimes has been hot from 3. And if this continues, this Houston team, both of you guys tend to think that they're kind of fraudulent, but this team becomes quite dangerous if Quentin Grimes is making 6 to 10 threes a game, because that's what he's been doing recently, and it's impressive.
I mean, that was really my only concern with Houston is their guard play and how well they can shoot it, and specifically Grimes. I mean, you look at their losses to Wichita, he has 12, and Eastern Carolina, he has 7.
Yeah.
So Houston really needs Quentin Grimes to step up, and obviously he's capable of dropping 30. Like, he's a great shooter.
Yep.
He just has his off nights, which is slightly concerning for me come March.
Fair point. And then moving on to some more Big Ten action. Michigan State picks up a second in a row signature win against Ohio State at home, 71-67. Michigan State has locked their spot in the tournament with these past two wins. Aaron Henry again.
Yeah, this game, like literally all the recap of this game is almost exactly what we said for Michigan State in the buy-sell segment. Aaron Henry, great game. Rocket Watts, stunk. 1 for 10 field goal.
Like him, I think Rocket Watts needs to realize that his role on this team is not as big as he thinks, and he needs to do the team a favor and not take as many shots.
I don't know about
who else do they have? That's the only question.
Joey
Hauser has been taking 4 to 5 shots a game for the last month, and that's slightly worrisome for me.
The thing is they need Rocket Watts, so they're like, he is the reason why they're so bad this year. Like, they need him to be that scorer.
So what do you want them to do? Just have him chuck up shots when he's playing like garbage? Well, like, I don't know.
He needs to shoot less, and Hauser needs to shoot more. That's what I'm saying. The shots need to get allocated better.
I don't really know what
to think about Michigan State. I would almost just say he needs to just make them. Like,
okay, well, in an ideal, perfect world,
I would love to win the lottery. Like, come on, like, what do you
think? He needs to be the second leading scorer on the team.
But he's not capable.
He has not been. You are crafting an argument out of, like, this. It's not like
twigs and paper.
This isn't like Alex creates
it's
the
a,
ideal
it's a
world.
Bad argument. I just miss the old Rocket Watts.
That's fair. You know, we've all kind of been there.
Fair to say. So moving to some Pac-12 action. Wow, we are mentioning Pac-12 games. What is going on? Colorado defeats USC 80-62.
Boom.
Colorado's a fun team to watch.
I love watching Colorado.
Skull Buffs.
McKinley Wright, absolute dog. 14 assists this game.
I know.
It's so impressive to do in a college basketball game. So impressive
and
to do.
It's also, that game was at Colorado as well.
Home game, correct?
It's interesting to watch teams going to Colorado because the altitude actually does mess with some of those teams.
Fair. And the same thing with all sports in Colorado.
Yeah. So Colorado as a team, they really kind of like to try to run teams up and down that court, get them gassed.
Fair. They got different kind of conditioning, used to that mile-high kind of stadium. So it's a little bit of an advantage, you could say. And then moving into the first of the two games of San Diego State versus Boise State, San Diego State takes the game on Thursday, 78-66, in overtime.
Should we just mention the other one while we're at it?
So and San Diego State ended up winning on Saturday as well. Another tight game. I think it was like 62-56 or something tight, but two phenomenal games.
I think it proves that San Diego State is the cream of the crop in the Mountain West.
Yes.
However, 100%. Boise State, one game went into overtime. The other game was a four-point loss.
Mm-hmm.
Shows that they're a tourney-bound team as well. And at least in my book, they have the talent to obviously get in the big dance.
Yeah. I think right now, I don't want to call the Mountain West a lock for a two-bid, but
It's looking pretty solid,
yeah. It's pretty much there.
Could be a three-bid, too. Colorado State's hanging in there right on the bubble. I think they're in right now.
Or if, let's say, Utah State wins the tournament, then boom. That's pretty much a three lock, I'd say.
Or even if Utah State only gets to, like, the conference final. Like, you never know. Mountain West is impressive, and both those teams in particular.
100%. Yeah, I think what really puts SDSU over the top is they obviously have the best player in the conference in Matt Mitchell, and then Jordan Shackles. Also a really good piece alongside of him.
And Jordan Shackle's a very good shooter, but he was very impressive down the stretch against Boise State. He was like 6 for 6 on his in the second game,
for sure.
Coming down the stretch with his free throws. It was quite impressive to watch. But that wraps up the games from Thursday. And then moving into Friday, there were really no...
Yeah, I didn't think there were any games Friday.
There were no Power 5 games on Friday that were really... That even happened, but I guess one you can mention is Drake beating Bradley, defeating the Bradley dream of Luke. But down go the Braves. But that's really the only game mentionable. And Loyola Chicago picks up a win against Southern Illinois, but to be expected, some would say. So those are literally the only games even think about mentioning from Friday. And then moving into Saturday, a phenomenal day of college basketball. Michigan on the road against Indiana picks up a win, 73-57. Nice little win for Michigan there, I guess. Michigan is just, they just prove every night that they're such a good team, I would say. I think that's totally due to Juwan Howard, but they all play well. And Franz.
And as far as Indiana's concerned, they're so done with Archie Miller at coach.
Yeah.
Watching Indiana fans on Twitter is kind of one of my new hobbies, to be honest. Like, they want Archie Miller gone so bad.
Yeah, and that's fair, I guess, because he's not really done anything
since he got to Indiana.
They have some talent, too. Trace Jackson Davis.
I know.
Rob Finzi, Al Durham. I mean, Race Thompson.
Fire him. Marquette, there you go. Just hire Archie Miller. He can't be any worse than Logan.
Ooh, actually, I think he probably could be. Think about Archie Miller. What has he done at Indiana since he got there 5 years ago coming from Dayton? He has not done a single thing.
He has punted.
But, yeah.
You can get nice recruits, though.
That's well, so can Wojo.
Not to the same caliber.
Is it worth the drama? Is it worth
the
drama?
I don't even know about that.
TJD, Romeo Langford.
Dustin Garcia is a pretty damn high recruit.
Okay, but...
And he got him to come to MU.
I guess.
They knew the Big East was going to have a little bit of a down year. It's an impressive recruit. But I digress. Moving on, some Big 12 action. Texas Tech picks up a great win. Charlie mentioned them as his kind of underrated team.
Boom.
Texas Tech wins against Texas, 68-59 in the in-state rivalry, you could argue. And Charlie said this off, you want to say what you said offline, about how the Shaka is underperforming greatly with this talent.
Yeah, I did say that. Like
off podcast.
Texas has too much talent.
Way too much talent.
To be what they're at now. Like, in the beginning of the year, I thought they were overachieving when they're like number four in the nation.
Yeah.
But after this loss, they're going to drop into the 20s probably.
Yeah, I mean, they're 14 at this time.
Maybe not in the 20s. It'll be close.
They just beat a hot Kansas team, though.
That's a fair point. Before. Yeah, I don't know. But even still, like, they've got a lot of talent. But as far as this game's concerned, this was a really good team game for Texas Tech. That's what I love to see out of teams that I pick as my underrated team.
Mm-hmm.
And Texas just shot the ball pretty poorly. Mm-hmm. I'm also going to credit Texas Tech's defense, though. Chris Beard knows how to get it done on that end of the ball.
That's fair. Two players in double figures for Texas. Jericho Sims at 11 and Matt Coleman at 10. Texas shot the ball 35% from the field.
What was Andrew Jones' stat line?
2 of 8, 8 points.
Oh, okay.
Well, Matt Coleman was 3 of 6, I guess. But they didn't, Courtney Raymond took a lot of shots, but it's good to see Texas Tech have a big man that's been pretty decent this year in Marco Santos Silva.
Yeah, he's been actually like an addition that I didn't think would actually like pay dividends whatsoever. what he has.
But it's immense. It's meaning something because Texas is not a big man oriented. Texas Tech's always been a guard oriented team.
They need to use Greg Brown more.
Texas, you mean?
Texas. Yeah. We're talking about Texas Tech. Yeah. Think about it. A year ago, Santos Silva was swinging a chair at some guy in a K-State versus Kansas brawl. And now he's putting up double figures for Texas Tech, a good team, you know?
Yeah, but I agree.
Feel good for the guy.
Great with Greg Brown, yes. They totally need to use him more. He's getting 13 minutes. Like, I don't know if he's just getting, like, the freshman treatment. Like, they don't want to put him in clutch moments. I have no idea, but he needs to be utilized. I definitely agree with that. Auburn picks up a win against Tennessee, 77-72. Kind of proving Tennessee's fraudulence, you could say.
I would say so.
Probably.
After that, you said in our chat, you said, if any of you guys pick Tennessee to win even one game in March,
I'm going to lose it. Tennessee, they just, man. I wish they would win a few games now, though, so that they'd be a higher seed. Just like the upset would look a lot cooler.
It's looking like that might not happen.
Looking like they might be on the 10 line before we know it here. But they stink. That's all I need to say right now. Illinois and Iota Sumu-less Illinois defeats Wisconsin on senior night at the Kohl Center, 74-69. Illinois had 12 more turnovers than Wisconsin and won this game. And this wasn't even a game until Demetric tries to turn into Tracy McGrady in the last, and like Tracy McGrady in whatever, 2008. And
it needs to be mentioned again that Illinois did not have Io DeSumo.
The second best player in the Big Ten, maybe country, probably not, but maybe.
I mean, think about this.
That's insane.
You want to hear this at? Demetric Trice scored 19 points in the final, like, 2 minutes and change of this basketball game.
And the Wisconsin Badgers managed to take an L in the stat column of this game. What?
But Demetric Trice.
This might be one of the best.
It was one of the most incredible performances I've seen in a long time in college basketball. He just went takeover mode. It was fun to watch.
I think he made 5 or 6 straight three-pointers.
Yes. Like, just, like, literally just drove it up the court himself.
Shot
found, like, an ounce of space and boom. Cashed.
But the funny thing was, like, after like 2 or 3 went in, I guarantee Illinois knew where the ball was going to, and they still couldn't stop it.
Yeah, I need to apologize for the Wisconsin fans out there. I did not work with Brad in the gym this week, which is why I was 1 for 9 from the floor. I'll try and help him a little bit going forward.
Badgers starters this week: Tyler Wall 2, Nate Reavers 6, Aleem Ford 3, Brad Davidson 4 points.
Woke up feeling dangerous.
And Wisconsin, they're never going to be able to beat this Illinois team. No one can stop Kofi on Wisconsin.
Nope. Absolutely not. Michael Potter can attempt. He's the only one that stands a chance to slow Kofi Coburn.
Yeah, but
no
even that
can't
like,
really do that.
But also, Micah picks up lots of quick fouls while guarding Kofi because he tries to get physical with him and then realizes Kofi's 40 pounds heavier and his legs are the size of Saquon Barkley's, and I don't stand a chance.
Yeah.
Kofi was an animal, and also Kofi was like 3 of 9 from the free throw line, and he still had a phenomenal game, 19 points.
And I firmly believe if Io's in this game, Illinois by 20.
I think if Illinois doesn't have 20 turnovers this game, it's Illinois by 20.
Well, they wouldn't have had anywhere near 20 turnovers.
It was Illinois by 20 before Demetric Trice started to become Tracy McGrady. So, yeah, basically anything else makes this game Illinois by 20. This game, you know, you look at the score and you're like, oh, Wisconsin kept it close with the 5th-best team in the nation. But that's really not the whole narrative whatsoever.
Yeah.
Especially because it's senior night for the entire starting lineup with seniors, let me say.
Yeah, and normally that kind of gets the juices flowing, but I guess not.
So, against an Iowa Sumo-less Illinois, but just terrible. Bad, bad loss for Wisconsin. They needed to pick that one up. Arkansas at home defeats LSU 83-75, kind of to be expected. Arkansas has been rolling. SEC or Big 12 action, sorry. Oklahoma is arguably the game of the day, I'd maybe say. Oklahoma State on the road defeating Oklahoma in overtime, 94-90.
Do your thing, Alex. Do your thing.
See, this is why
Made in March.
You guys all need to listen to Made in March. Our segment last week, you know, our overrated, underrated teams.
I think we
got
everything.
Charlie saying Texas Tech underrated. They pick up a big win over Texas. I say Oak State, big win over Oklahoma.
Wesley, I said Purdue, and they got 2 wins.
Your game's about to come. Yep. And then we have our overrated teams. Wisconsin, they lose, and Wesley's
we both
team.
We
both said
up.
Creighton,
both
and they
Creighton.
Lost to Xavier.
I mean, that's 6 for 6.
To us.
Batting 1,000.
We're getting a big contract.
We're getting that Fernando Tatis 14 year, guaranteed.
But yeah, this was an incredible game. Last 5 minutes plus OT, it was basically Cade versus Austin Reeves. Just dueling it out, going back and forth, shot for shot. Yeah, it was very fun to watch.
Katie had 40 points.
Katie had 40 points. Oh my goodness.
And the thing was, like, it wasn't like a selfish 40 points. Like, he was taking lots of good shots, wasn't forcing anything. And he got his teammates involved too. I guess he double-doubled 40 and 11, 11 rebounds.
Got to the line 14 times, and that's another thing that makes Oak State spooky. They're a really good free throw shooting team.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to mention real quick, Alex, you touched on it earlier when we were talking about Oklahoma. Davion Harmon's an underrated piece, I think.
Absolutely.
What was he that game? 9 of 13 from the field? 9 of 13,
23 points. And they went away from him and down the stretch. Like, obviously, Austin Reeves is pretty clutch. Player.
I kind of want the ball in his hands.
But he did have a couple turnovers down the stretch that when normally he would kick it out and find the open shooter.
Okay, yeah, fair point.
Fair to say. Some more Big 12 games. Just have to mention this one. West Virginia kind of annihilates Kansas State, 65-43 at home. Kind of to be expected, though.
Sean McNeil's three-pointer is still wet. Just a quick update.
Yeah.
Also, as if the sky is blue.
Heard an incredible stat that in JUCO he averaged 30 a game, so... Props to him.
Sean McNeil's been quite overlooked this season.
He's just a hooper. I love watching him play.
I do too.
Why did Deuce McBride come off the bench this game? Senior night. Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, did Jordan McCabe get the nod?
Jordan McCabe's like a junior.
He's a junior. He still ended up getting the nod and 21 more minutes than he deserves.
He had a nasty reverse layup, like jelly, like double clutch. It was insane. But
it was in garbage time with up 20 or so, but still.
The garbage man.
He's a garbage man. But North Carolina picks up a win against Florida State, 78-70. This is a huge win for North Carolina.
FSU blew a decent lead in this one.
They did. They were up, I think, 15 at half, or 12, sorry, up 12
UNC
and a half.
UNC needed this, though, after losing to Marquette, I would argue.
They definitely did.
And that's a fair trade-off for UNC. I mean, bad loss, really good resume-boosting win.
I think a little bit, it's going to leave a better taste in the voters' mouths than it would at Marquette. Because, obviously, a FSU win and
you're saying if it was the other way around.
Versus Marquette or FSU loss,
Yeah, I think that would... Or if, like, they flipped it around, like, as if, like, they beat Florida State first, then lost to Marquette after, I think, like, having this one...
Listen, guys, it didn't happen that way, so...
Irrelevant statement.
We made it a little bit complicated there.
Fair.
But.
And then we already mentioned this game, San Diego State defeating Boise State in another close one, proving that they are the best team in the Mountain West. The fraudulent Creighton Blue Jays lose on the road to Xavier.
Just inject it into my veins, honestly. I love 77-69. The way you hate Virginia is how I hate Creighton.
Yes, that's
true. Every time I see him, I just despise my own.
Just despise them. I mean, they did shoot 43% from the field, which is not terrible. But Xavier, I don't know. The Xavier team has not played many games. They did play, like, they were the first team to 8 games in the country, and they've played a total of 18 games. So they've played, like, 10 games since the middle of December, or more or less. That's insane. Alex, you think they're a tournament team?
I do think they're a tournament team. I think they got some nice pieces. Fremantle and Scruggs are the two main guys, and then you got Kunkel coming off the bench, who's an absolute sniper. I don't mind this Xavier team. I think they'll probably be around a 10-11 seed. Not huge on them, but I think they'll make the tourney.
Fair, fair. Alabama picks up a bounce-back win, but still a tight game against Mississippi State, 64-59. It's kind of been Alabama's, I guess, that's how their game's been going recently in the past couple weeks. It's kind of been tight games. Louisville on the road against Duke in OT picks win 80-73. I think I saw some kind of projection or something saying if Louisville wins this game, they're, I think, an 80% chance to make the tournament. If they lose, they're like a 55 or something.
I actually kind of agree with that, but Carlick Jones, he stepped up for Louisville.
He did.
Another one of the players that I love to watch play. He's a really fun guy to watch.
25 points this game. He hit some clutch shots down the stretch. Mm-hmm. And although then, Matthew Hurt is the story of this game. I don't know if there's a bigger backpack badge than Matthew Hurt this game, dropping 37 points.
Give my boy some help.
Seriously.
15 of 21 from the floor?
Yeah.
That is an insane stat line.
Yeah.
Jeez. I don't know how I overlooked that one.
Yeah. Matthew Hurt played in... I watched
I only caught bits and pieces of that game.
Yeah, probably watched about last 7-8 minutes of this game, and it was the Matthew Hurt show. Although, it was weird. In overtime, the ball was not going to Matthew Hurt, and I was a little surprised about that. It was a little weird, but
Duke's
I think
freshman guards stink.
They do
DJ
stink.
Stewart and Jeremy
DJ
Rose,
Stewart stinks.
They stink.
They stink bad. But do you think Duke's making the tournament?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think that's the killer. I think that's
the nail in the coffin.
That's the thing. Slam down that hammer. I think it's probably over for them. Game of the night, though. Kansas defeating Baylor 71-58, handing Baylor their first loss of the season. We have one undefeated team left, and that's Gonzaga. I don't see them probably until possibly the Big Dance.
But this is what I mentioned in Kansas in the buy-sell segment, so I'll keep it rather brief. They played pretty darn good defense that game.
They definitely did. They did.
If they can keep that up, that's when I think Kansas is scary.
Credit Marcus Garrett and Christian Braun for clamping Jared Butler and containing Davion Mitchell.
Exactly. And this Baylor team is I think it's the highest shooting three-point team in the nation, 43%. That's like way above everybody else from three. They were held to 23% from three in this game. That's it. Credit to Kansas's defense. They played very well, and their new offense feeding through David McCormack really worked out, and they're a scary team now, I'd say. They're back in for sure.
Yeah.
Just have to mention this because USC picks up their second loss in a row. Utah defeats USC 71-61. USC's kind of skidding here. I don't know. I don't know if they're still. I would still say they're the best team in the Pac-12. Although, the Pac-12 is totally up for grabs in my opinion.
Pac-12 is just every team's a wild card, and I'm kind of just waiting for the Pac-12 tournament to see how it all plays out.
Just to kind of see what happens. Yeah. That's fair because. Anything could happen. Colorado could win it. Oregon could win it.
Yep.
UCLA. Any of those teams. Yeah. Arizona.
It's wild in the Pac-12. It's wild out there.
It's absolutely wild out there. But that wraps up the games from Saturday. Moving into Sunday, the Big East takes another shot here. Butler wins 73-61 over 8th-ranked Villanova. Not what you want to see if you're a Villanova fan.
Yeah. Alex, tough, you mentioned tough. This to me, I believe, the other day off air. And I really agree with it. Villanova is not, like, that deep of a team,
no,
I wouldn't
not
say.
Not at all. I mean, they really only have one player that comes off the bench and gives them 15 minutes a game, and that's Cole Swider.
And that's it.
And
that's he's not that good.
No, he's a shooter. That's all he is.
Yeah.
I mean, Nova shot 2 of 27 from the floor, or from three. They're never going to do that
That's
again.
A staggering 7%. From three?
Because they're all pretty good shooters and they're starting five.
That will not happen again for Nova. I agree.
I'm not too worried about Villanova going forward. What are you guys' thoughts?
I'm not going to say that this game like scared me and it's like, oh, I'm off Nova. But like, I was never really like on them.
That's
like, I don't know. I just think the Big East in general this year is rather disappointing.
Yeah. That's where
and Nova's included slightly in that, even though they're the best team in the Big East.
Yeah, that's where I'm kind of at with Nova, too, is that they're no bench, Alex, like Alex said, is very scary. I don't think that's going to bode well for them in March. And also that they haven't played many games this year, so they haven't really gotten into like a groove as a team, I would say. They've had a lot of stop and start, kind of like Baylor has had, I guess you could say, but Baylor's
dealt. And maybe that's
better.
Part of the reason why I'm thinking that, to be honest.
Yeah, because they've had a lot of stops.
Yeah, that's actually a really valid point.
They've played 19 games compared to other teams playing high 20s, which is actually huge because during those breaks, they're not practicing. And there's no chance to, I guess, get that team chemistry. Maryland picks up a huge win against rolling Michigan State team, 73-55.
We have reached the portion of the podcast where it is time for Charlie to talk about Maryland. I called this Maryland surge a little bit ago, and I don't want to just like brag about it, but I think this Maryland team... they're a dark horse, Elite Eight team. I really believe it. And that is despite having Mark Turgeon at the helm. I'm pulling for a Mark Turgeon coach team. Who would have thought, right? Who would have thought?
No, I would have probably not thought.
But I really like the way Maryland plays as a team. They're just so unselfish. And I love Eric Ayala. He's like the definition of leadership out there. And they can go down low with the ball, too.
Mm-hmm.
Just everything I saw in Maryland this game and the past few weeks really has me high on Maryland. I'm bought in.
I would have never seen this coming, honestly, in the first half of the season, even the first two-thirds of the season. It's just kind of in this last little
bit. And the reason that you wouldn't have thought that, Maryland's, like, their Big Ten schedule was the most front-loaded of all time.
That's true. The back end they
played
weak.
Like Iowa twice, Michigan twice. Like they played like the hardest teams all in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think we were so down on Maryland.
That's fair, but also because Mark Turgeon is just kind of a bum in general. Some would say. Sources have said, not us. Sources have said that. But this Maryland team is definitely on the opposite. And you would say a Michigan State team. This team is, whatever, 12-9 or whatever they were. But this is a Michigan State team that just got 2 top 10 wins in a row.
And Maryland just beat their brains in.
Beat their brains in because Michigan State
played. Alex, thoughts on this game?
See, I like this Maryland team. I agree with both of you. They play as a team, but sometimes I think talent beats playing as a team, and that's what concerns me with Maryland, is because they don't have a guy like, you look at some of the players Maryland's had in the past, like a Jalen Smith, Melo Trimble, Bruno Fernando, like that star player who's really good. Mm-hmm. They don't really have that this year.
You're absolutely right. They don't have a guy who can take over the game, and yes, so if they go on a run, it's just gonna have to be great team basketball.
Yeah.
But you're right. If if there's a weak spot in their team, which there is, they're not even ranked or anything. Mm-hmm. It is the fact that they don't have a stud out there.
I think for them to pick up a couple games in March, I think they're going to need a really good draw.
That's what I think it is, too. I think they're going to need a very good draw, but it's possible.
I think this Maryland team can surprise some people.
All right, we shall see. But the best game of the day is another Big Ten game. Iowa dominating Ohio State, getting their revenge, 73-57, on the road in Columbus for this one, so... That's a huge win for Iowa. Win for Iowa. Got the revenge. Luca Garza played incredible.
As did Wieskamp.
Joe Wieskamp played phenomenal. And overall, just the team in general played. They shot 41% from three. That'll win you most games.
This game just doesn't really give me the sign of a Fran fade, if I'm being honest.
And Luke, I mean, after their loss to Michigan, you were going to be seeing them in the 7-10 matchup come March.
That is far from the truth,
I would say. This was a great game for Iowa. I think Ohio State had an atrocious first half offense. I think they scored like 20-something points. They played terrible, but I don't think this is reason to be too worried about Ohio State right now. More as a credit to Iowa, I guess, in this one. And then at the end of the night, Utah State picks up a win, sweeping Nevada 87-66. Just a team to watch out for in the Mountain West tournament.
Yep.
I'd say there's four teams that can win the Mountain West tournament.
Absolutely.
It's pretty incredible. But that wraps up our games from Sunday. Now moving into our games to look forward to. Obviously, Lions are only out for Monday games. So we'll only be able to do those games on the Lions, and then we'll get a few games or a few more days ahead of that. Virginia, at home against Miami. I'm just mentioning this because the line is crazy on this. 14.5 point favorites UVA against Miami.
Ooh, that is a let's pick Miami to cover. Although I will note one thing. I saw the stat the other day. I think how many losses does Miami have on the year?
15.
I think either 10 or 11 of those have been by double digits, which was a crazy stat.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They played
hella close games.
I know. I feel like all the games.
In like the beginning of the year, they played like two or three close games, but if we're being honest, they've been getting blown out lately.
Wow.
And but regardless of that stat, UVA, if it's more than double digit points, I don't pick UVA to cover because that's just not how UVA plays.
14.5 is a lot, but
give me Miami to cover that one.
I like Miami to cover.
I'm gonna take Miami to cover on this one too. Around the horn. The hate for UVA continues. Nebraska hosting Rutgers. Rutgers is 7-point favorites in this one. I probably like them to cover in this one just because I don't think Nebraska ball can really put up much of a fight.
I like Rutgers to cover in that as well.
I would agree with you. Yeah.
Oh, whoa. Alex picking Rutgers to cover? What a good world stuff. We live in.
Syracuse hosting North Carolina. UNC is 2-point favorites. I think this is actually a pretty pivotal game for...
It's at Cuse?
At Cuse.
Ooh, this is actually a good game.
I agree. I think this is a pivotal game for the bubble as well.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm still taking UNC to cover that line. I'm not as sold on as Cuse as you guys are.
I just love watching Buddy Boeheim ball, though.
Oh, I do like that. I'll give you that.
I probably have to lean towards UNC in this one as well.
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to do the same. No difference there. I think UNC has been rolling, especially after that win against Florida State. They're going to have a lot of... They're going to be up and come out for this game at the Carrier Dome. Oklahoma looking for some revenge against Oklahoma State. Will they get it? We do not know, but Oklahoma is only 1-point favorites.
Game of the night.
See, you got to slam Oklahoma in this game. I don't see them losing two straight to Okie State.
This is at Okie State.
Oh, it's in Stillwater?
Okie State.
I'm still taking Oklahoma. I'm still going Oklahoma to obviously win and cover that line. Alex, I know you're
I'm waiting for you, Wes.
Man, I know Alex is going to pick Okie State. I'm going to take Oklahoma to cover in this one.
Don't sound too confident in it.
I'm not very confident in this. So
really? Because I'm confident in my pick.
I would personally not bet on this game if I was... It's a toss-up game for me, but I'm going to take Oklahoma just because I don't know if Cade can drop 40 again. That's my reasoning behind that.
That's the thing is...
We shall see.
I feel like Oklahoma's... gonna find a way to stop Cade, but
I know this is a tough one.
I think Oak State's got a lot of nice pieces surrounding Cade.
You think they're sweeping them?
They get the job done again.
All right,
give me Oak State.
No surprises there.
Oak State will be ranked this week, so it's gonna be. I'm gonna be interested to see where they fall though.
They're gonna be around 18, 19.
I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably a good spot for them. I'd say that's the wraps up the games to look forward to for Monday. Now moving into Tuesday, Baylor. Taking on West Virginia.
This West get Virginia rescheduled, hosting. I believe.
I think this is
because they were supposed to play last.
They were supposed to play the last
Wednesday
like,
or something.
Last million weeks, it feels like.
Well, I'm just going to stick with my pick I said last week. I think. Well, I thought West Virginia was going to be the first team to knock them off of their undefeated streak. And they West Virginia is going to beat them again. I really liked what I saw when they were granted playing K-State. But even still, give me West Virginia.
I'm actually going to take West Virginia in this one as well. I think that they match up really well with Baylor. I think you guys said that. Texas, the team that matches up best with Baylor, but I think it's West Virginia that matches up best with them. I see them taking this game. Sean McNeil's going to have 7 threes in this game.
I like Baylor in this one. I picked them last week. I like Baylor by about 8 to 10.
I would love to see the line in this
game. A little bounce back win for Baylor.
I wonder if Baylor is going to be favored by over 3 or 4 in this game. It'd be interesting to see. Arkansas on the road against South Carolina. Arkansas is going to clean up business here.
Yep, Hogs.
Wow. This is in contention for an even better game than Baylor-West Virginia. Illinois-Michigan, also on Tuesday night.
Is Iowa playing? Any updates?
I'm going to assume assume it was not playing.
I don't think so because they would say day-to-day if he had like chance to come back soon. They said out indefinitely.
Yeah, so I think it's fair to say that he's not playing. And is this at Michigan?
This is at Ann Arbor, yes. This is obviously,
without I would assume I really don't.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
I don't see any way that Illinois wins that game.
I have an update here. Number 5 Illinois hoping for Io DeSumo's return at number 3 Michigan.
Okay,
man, so
there's a chance.
We're in a slight predicament here. Then I'm still gonna take Michigan to win. I'm not gonna say cover or anything.
Well, we don't know the line.
We don't know the line.
This is kind of one where we need more information on.
If Io's there, give me Illinois. If not, I'll take Michigan.
Fair. Alabama hosts Auburn. I see Alabama getting a nice bounce back, hopefully explosive win because
I want to see firepower out of Alabama. Yeah,
I want to see a 20 point win from Bama in this game.
That's what I want
to
see.
I think for them
Auburn's
to win,
not a very good team.
Better than you think, dude.
But I think Alabama to win by 20 is going to have to score 90.
They can.
They've scored 115 before and against a Power 5 team, so anything is possible. Two Big 12 games that should probably be wins. Texas Tech hosting TCU should probably be a win for Texas Tech. And Iowa State hosting Texas. Texas should probably win that game as well.
Yep.
Hopefully. Otherwise, we may have some issues. Michigan State hosting Indiana. Indiana maybe on the bubble. Maybe
did they not just play? Or am I mixing up games?
No, they didn't just play.
They did not just play. Yeah. Okay. So Indiana played Rutgers, and then Michigan State played
Maryland today.
Yeah. I don't even know who to pick in that game.
I'll
go with Michigan State. Yeah.
They're at home.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with Indiana this game.
All right.
We'll see what happens. Purdue hosts Wisconsin. I'm going to take Purdue in this game.
I'm going to take Purdue as well.
I apologize to all Wisconsin Loyalers.
I have to take Purdue in this game. Travion's just going to go off.
Don't you dare. And then just the last game, Georgia Tech hosting Duke. Rambling. I'm gonna
sneaky take... big game here.
Rambling record on the bubble.
I know. They are a 13-8 team.
I know. Give me Rambling Wreck to win that game.
Rambling Wreck because I want them in the tournament. Let's
I do
go.
Too.
Georgia Tech.
Who's this one guy? Got to find his name. Jose Alvarado. Really fun to watch on Georgia Tech, but I like Duke in this one. I don't think Georgia Tech's going to be able to stop Matthew Hurt.
All right. Fair point. That's actually a very fair point. But yeah, that wraps up the games to look forward to. And as promised, we didn't have another long delay. We were back, and I think we intend to be back rather shortly again on here.
Wednesday, 100%. Thursday?
Yeah. So until next time, this is Made in March.